churches that sit back here and a lot of churches before us. And the reason I want to tell you about this and talk this particular subject tonight is because I think it is so relevant to the church today and the people who go to church, the people who are in the church, at least in all Baptist churches I've been in, and I had a chance to be in a lot of Baptist churches. I really want to share this with you just from the bottom of my heart because I think if there's one message that Christians need to hear today, it's this message. That there's one prayer, one topic that needs to be talked about to non-Christians, it's this topic, the Lordship of Jesus Christ and what it can mean in your life. If you allow me to have total control. I'll drive down the street as much as I know. Here we go. Down the street, you know what? I came by this place. Chevrolet place. I looked out there and I saw this long, slick looking, beautiful car in the show. So I slowed down, parked my car, went up to the window, you know, stuck my nose looking against the window, like that, you know, looking at it, checking out, see what it was like. And I thought, oh man, saw that car, and I thought, wow, that'd be something I really like to have, you know. It was a 1973 Stingray Corvette. So the 18-year-old guy really doesn't have.
Christian life is
concerned because you're not experiencing anything that God has to be experienced until He is in full control of your life, until He is the Lord of your life. Well, that's what it wants to be. And He can't do that, He'll do nothing. He wants to be in charge of your life. He wants to be in control of it. And you look at your life and you begin to realize, man, Jesus Christ is not in control of our life. We look at all those areas of our life where He's not in control of everything we get into. Well, that's really true, isn't it? It really is. And it puts us in a really well. It puts us in a tremendous well, as a matter of fact. Paul experienced that well. You know, I'm glad that I'm not the only person that's ever experienced that. I'm glad I'm not the only person that's ever been a real smashing Christian. But Paul experienced that people are the greatest Christian that's ever lived. And over in Romans 7, he tells us exactly about this. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn over there to that. You know, the 18th verse. It says this. And so it says, I know how to walk through and through so far as my whole sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself be right. I want to, but I can't. What I want to do, what I don't, what I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. A lot of you are saying that in your life, you have to be like me. Well, I have. I really have. A lot of times it's really frustrating to get a little smashed person like Paul's talking about here. He goes on to say in verse 21, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Has that been your experience? Well, sure has been mine. And I've gone for a long time saying, man, I'm going to do better. You know, I really think I can make it if I just keep trying to live this Christian life on my own. And I tried it, and then I lost out. Because I began to realize that I was just like Paul. Paul the Christian one was writing about himself here. And I've been a Christian, and I felt that way too. And I know you've probably been a Christian, and you've felt that way too. And yet God has something better in mind for us than that. My dad, who was raised down here in Connecticut, Virginia, was a wholesale food distributor up in West Virginia. And he not only sells wholesale food, but he also has a manufacturing plant called Nature's Best Foods. Oh, and he sells all kinds of things. He sells stuff like potato salad, chicken salad, coleslaw, molasses, pickled beans, pickled corn. He sells all kinds of stuff like that, you know? And he used to be able, sometimes when I was in high school, he'd be able to con me going down there and working for him on Saturday. And once we finally got together, I was pretty fascinated by the whole thing. See, I thought it was really great. Because when we go down there, what would happen would be they had all these conveyor belts, see? And the conveyor belts would run down in there, and one would even taste out. Here would come to taste out, and somebody would put a plastic cup on there, you know, and would run down there, and the nozzle would light somewhere in the middle, and run down there, and get under that nozzle, and go, it's like anyway, would run on down. Somebody slapped the air once, and then all these other conveyor belts, here's some chicken salad, you know? And here's the chicken salad, you know, there's the nozzle, comes down to the plastic cup, runs on down, top on it, label on it, in the box it goes, it's ready for chicken. And over here's another, you know? Potato salad, here's the potato salad, it runs down here, it gets on the dock, runs down, put the thing on it, it's ready to go. And then over here's another, pickled beans, you know? And look down, pickled beans running there, you go, like that. And then another one down here, you know, they slap it on the wall. You know, a whole deal. And they just kept doing it, except sometimes what would happen would be there would be a breakdown somewhere in the machinery, and we could do one of two things. We could either stop the machine, get up there and fix it, or we could just let it run on and let the coffee price come out, you know? And usually what would happen would be we would stop the machinery, we'd get somebody to get up there and do what they were doing, and they'd get in there and they'd fix it, and then they'd get right, see? Think about your life. Well, you got bugs in your machine, you're not crazy. You got faults in your factory. And now when the machine gets messed up, the product comes out to get back to that system. Well, it really is. And what you need somebody who knows what they're doing. Get up in there, get inside of that thing. out of your life. Fix it up. Make it right. Because the way you're in is just like a little call, man. You're spastic. You don't know how to live a Christian life on your own. I don't care whether you think you do or not, you do it all. And the only way you can do it is by the power of God. When somebody gets in there, gets into your machine, and gets to fix it up. Now, man, you know what the body is in your back. You know what your problem is. You know what the difficulty is. Everybody's got their own set of problems, right? Talked to a girl today on the airplane. She had a nervous breakdown. My sister was a juvenile delinquent. Her parents were divorced. She hated them. Her dad hated her. Boy, what a mess. I got my set of problems. You got your set of problems. You know what your problems are. Your problems might be drugs. They might be sex. It might be you got too much interest in some of your business. It might be that you don't love your wife anymore, like you used to. It might be that you don't know how to handle some of the frustrations in your life. It might be that you don't know how to handle the barriers of resentment, and hatred, and hostility, and the bitterness that comes into your life, and that has to keep you up. Now, there can be all kinds of things that are keeping you from being all that God wants you to be. All those things can be the bugs of your life, be the faults of your life. Yet that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way God designed us to be. Because in Romans 8, he goes on and on to tell something better than Romans 7. See? He really put himself in a cut down Romans 7. When he gets over to Romans 8, he starts off, and you know what he says? He says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now listen, I decided to pray for 4 weeks ago. And I'd like to share with you tonight probably the best doctrine changer in Georgia. And he has given me a lot of time to say amen. And he's about 4 weeks old, and actually, what he does, and this is kind of a crude illustration, I'm going to share it anyway, because it's real crude, unless you can't show you what exactly what it's like. So it's okay to take him up here. Okay? What he does, man, is he makes a mess a lot of times. In fact, 2 nights ago, he messed up his pants 5 times in less than an hour. And his mom died. But the interesting thing is, how did I treat him? Well, I slapped him as a servant. I said, don't do that anymore. No. That wasn't exactly the approach I used. I put his arm and put it on a stab. I said, don't do that. Right? Throw him in the closet. So, man, come out tomorrow. We can do better. Right? No, I didn't do any of those things. Why did I do those things? The reason I can do those things is one very, very simple reason. Because I love my little boy. Man, you can mess up this man. Now win. Not win. That's what I want. Boy, some of you, just imagine, we've already been through, let's go ahead and be through all the way. Some of you have messed up your pants. That's all I can say to you. Excuse me, I'll try to be better than what I am. But the fact is really true. We've been a mess up. Jesus Christ, and then there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ cleans you up, and he gets the faults out of your factory, he gets the bugs out of your skin, and he makes you a whole and new person. And now, if God sees you, you don't see anything but Jesus Christ living in you. So that's what it's all about. Jesus Christ living in you. Well, we're in the run. That's all we've got. We're in the 7th Christianity. That's all we've got. It's just a mess. What God wants to do, He really wants more than anything else in the world. He wants to give us a declaration. He wants us to be able to declare, like Paul declared in Colossians 1:27, when he said, God's wonderful and secret plan for all the nations, the mysterious plan of God for all the nations, is very simply this: Christ in you, the hope of all the glorious things to come. Christ in you, the hope of all the glorious things to come. You want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? You want Him to be in charge of your life? You want to get that mess out of your life? You want to get the bugs out of your machine, the faults out of your factory? Then you let Jesus Christ into your life. Let Him be the mess from that. Because that's what He wants to do. He wants to clean you up. I was sharing with some people today about my experience when I graduated from college. I had a chance to travel all around the country and play basketball. We called Athletes in Action. We played on major colleges, universities, campuses, played against their varsity basketball team, shared our testimony. After I maybe only with their half of heading one every single spot, and even the next day after basketball practice, I walk in, lock my stuff the other end of the house, sweaty all that other stuff, walk in, sit the guys line, say, hey, let's just watch the TV, and I went in the ring, and we're in the ring. No, I can do that, not. But if 3117 Majestic Circle in the Abigail State Georgia, well, I just walk right in there, drop my stuff down, say, hey, please, some of this, give her a little kiss, you know, go back and say, hey, let's watch a little TV, and I'm ready to hear y'all. Why did I do that? Well, because at one place I'm a guest in that person's house, and at another place, in my home, I'm a master of that house. Now, one of them said, I'm sorry about that, but that's what it is. And I'm a master of my own, where I am too. And that's what Jesus Christ wants to be in your life. He doesn't want to be some kind of guest over here somewhere in your life. He wants to come in, and he wants to be in total control. He wants to be in every room of your life. He wants to make himself home in your life. He wants to take up residence inside of you, live inside of you. That's what he wants. He doesn't want anything more, he doesn't want anything less. Because if he does that, it requires you to give your whole life to him. Probably the greatest claim that Jesus ever made is when he said, listen, I stand at the door and knock. Okay, now, if anybody wants to open the door, I'll leave him and I'll live with him, and he will live with him. And he will hide him into our land. We put him on the living room couch. And we say, if you sit right here and bring your lemonade, if you don't learn any other words, you don't learn that, then man, you got to miss out on what it means to have your money in Christian life. You'll miss out on what it means to know the exciting life of Jesus Christ is there. Oh, wow, it's exciting. If you're ready to take a living. He doesn't want to be a guest in your living room, just sit with another lady and you're invited to. He wants to be in every room of your life. He wants to be in your bedroom. John J. Taylor must have gone all along, but that's the thing in your life. When you have to clean up your hose, there's so many on the shower. Shower room. Some of you guys back in the office center are whipped and shaking and all that stuff. He wants to see all that stuff. That's what he wants to see. He wants to see everything in your life. He wants to see. Why is that? Because he loves you. Worth it all, man. Worth it all. He cares about you. He can't be your life, a human thing in your life, until you allow him to be in total control of your life. He wants to be in control. The only way you can be in control is two things to happen. Number one, if you sit in the left of your room, the front of the room in your shoulder, and you say, Jesus Christ, I'll turn to those things. I'll turn to my life away from those things. And I'll turn my life toward you, and I'll invite you to come into my life. And I want you to live in my life. I remember the guy that bottom leg about it. I was 6'5", 220 pounds, All-American basketball player from New Orleans, Louisiana, and played basketball games in college. And man, he was good. He was really great. And he used to like to play one-on-one against me. You know, we'd go down to the gym and play. He really enjoyed it. You know why he enjoyed it? Because he crushed it every single time. Go out. Throw me up. Stop. wants to take himself, he wants to just like root out from inside, and he wants to take himself and stuff himself right down inside of your life. But Tom, you're going to head right down to the bottom of your feet. If he has any less, if he doesn't look down to the cup, he wants to look for everything in your life. Everything. How does it work? Turn on the God, you take this action and it's just, I think it's funny, I'm glad it is.
I wasn't sure if I was going to pull it out or not.
And you just kind of shake and breathe, and what do you have? It's just a flop in all hands, right? Just kind of flop around and breathe.
Oh,